Sub Headlines.
Bruins with a big turnout at the morning skate as they get ready for the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight. Zdeno Chara, Jake DeBrusque, Matt Grizzlick, all at the morning skate. Charlie McAvoy was out there wearing the non-contact jersey. We'll get the latest from Judd Surratt and Bob Beers at 6:30, and then the puck drops just after 7 o'clock against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Bruins at home here on 98.5 The Sports Hub on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5 The Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Red Sox open up the regular season this afternoon. They take on the Rays at Tropicana Field. It's Chris Sale to the mound opposite Chris Archer. Also some roster moves today. Marco Hernandez put on the 60-day DL. Dustin Pedroia, Tyler Thornburg, Austin Maddox also placed on the 10-day disabled list. And the Celtics with a win last night, 97-94, over the Jazz in Utah. A perfect 4-for-4 on their road trip. Next up, they'll be home on Saturday night to take on the Toronto Raptors. Headlines are brought to you by Budweiser. Join Zoe and Beetle for a home opener live broadcast this Thursday from 10 to 2 at Lucky Strike Fenway, Budweiser brewed for baseball. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. It's Solak and Bertrand. Bruins game day on your home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If Johnny Manziel becomes the team's starting quarterback, I quit. I'm out.
Got that on.
I'm going to... You know where I'm going?
Good.
San Francisco. I'm going to San Fran.
What, you and Vola?
I'm
going to smoke cigarettes.
I'm going to root for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Ooh, Jimmy, I need a cigarette.
I'm going to become a 49ers fan after a lifetime in New England.
Good.
I'm going to San Fran. And call me when it's done, when it's over. You know, the playoffs are going to get going here at the Garden in a couple of weeks, right?
Remember when your old man would take you to games, whatever arena?
Well, it's funny you bring that up. I have something to tell you about that, but go ahead.
And your basic selection was, if you were at a really, really good concession stand, maybe you'll get the nachos with the cheese, and they'll throw the jalapenos on there for you.
Yeah.
But your basic choices were hot dog and a tin wrapper and popcorn.
Yeah.
And a soda. And it would run him $30, and he would bitch the whole time.
Right.
Going to games right now with concessions just isn't like it was back in the olden days. The Boston Bruins in the Garden have classed things up, so to speak.
So the other day I was here on Sunday for the Elite Eight game.
I was impressed. I did the Bruins Blackhawks a couple weeks ago. It was awesome.
Yeah, took my dad to the game on Sunday, and we were just kind of having a conversation about, hey, you did okay growing up, talking to me about getting to games and going to Fenway all the time and coming to the old Garden first and then what was the Fleet Center, this building, when it first opened in 95, 96, right around there. And we walked in the end, better, and I was like, wow, this ain't what it used to be, huh? When you walk up onto the main concourse here and it's white subway tile all the way around and it's very, modern looking and the food offerings are ridiculous.
Interesting choices. Like, it's almost confusing. The choices are so good.
We just got lunch delivered from the Garden. They've got a playoff menu.
Oh, no. Did you get the chicken and waffles again?
No. Okay. This is more. All right. These are more like, this is closer to traditional stadium fare.
Okay.
They've got, it says Italian sub, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hardy,
there they go. It's a sandwich. It's amazing. Then they've got these things that Zoe is devouring right now called a Reuben hand pie. So it's got corned beef in there, sauerkraut, ooh, Swiss.
I just texted it to you.
But it's like a nice little small pie. You can eat it. You can pick it up. You can pick it up and eat it.
You're sitting at the game eating it. And it has the delightful ingredients of a Reuben with a massive vat of Thousand Island to dip it in.
You got to go to Garden Grill Level 4 for the Italian sub, which is worth the trip. And you can get the Reuben hand pie or hot dog hand pie.
Oh, the Reuben.
Garden Grill Level 4. If you want more info on this, tdgarden.com. But I couldn't. They brought in this food, so I was like, oh, my God. Oh. How is it, Jim? Is it good?
Good food? Jim. You okay, Jim?
Just stadiums are not what they used to be on
this front. What are you sucking on? What meat pie are you eating?
They're just not what they are anymore. Stadiums are so different. Arenas are so different. It's not what it used to be.
I tried the hot dog one, but I dipped it in the Thousand Island, but I didn't need to because ketchup and mustard inside.
Oh!
Wait a minute.
Nice little surprise.
They already took care of the ketchup and mustard.
Condiments inside, yeah.
That's perfect. Like we went to the Blackhawks game and all my kids like chicken finger French fries. If you go to the chicken finger French fry stand, they have a family bucket you can order.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hey, it adds up if you buy individual stuff, but pretty cool. It comes with 20 chicken fingers, a big bucket of fries, and they give you ranch dipping sauce. It's unreal. It was unreal, the food selection.
Let's go to the phones. Kyle is in Boston. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to get Zoe's back here. I think this is all smoke screens for Manziel. I mean, I also think Brady referred to him as a turd one time. So, I mean, I don't know how you work with someone who called you that. I just don't see it happening.
Yes, he did. Tom Brady once called Johnny Manziel a turd. Yep. Happened in 2013.
Really?
Yep. This is when he was on CNBC.
Yep.
It was Tom Brady doing an interview. I think Brian Urlacher had some comments at the same time as well. Joe Kernan was the host. I just looked it up. And his discussion with Brady said, you're probably going to play against Johnny Football one day. And then asked Brady, what's the biggest thing you've ever done in terms of flaunting? I think I've maybe seen a fist pump. That's about it, isn't it? And Brady said, I get pretty emotional. I have a lot of respect for my teammates, for my organization, and certainly for other guys in the NFL. There's not a guy playing in the NFL who hasn't earned the right to be here and who isn't supremely talented. And this is then when Brady laid down the hammer, brought down the hammer on Manziel.
Oh boy.
He said he's probably been the best athlete in his high school class, in his elementary school class. So when you look across the ball, you have respect for those guys and treat them with respect. Football's a physical game. And as Mr. Kraft would say, if you're a turd, it's going to come back to you.
Interesting how he termed it, as Mr. Kraft would say. I'm not going to technically say it, but I'm going to tag him as a turd, but I'm not going to verbally
say
it.
If that's a saying, if you're a turd, it's going to come back to you, inferring that Johnny Manziel is a turd.
Interesting how the early part of his career worked out.
He never said Johnny Manziel's a turd. He was asked about that type of behavior. He said, well, if you're a turd, it's going to come back to you.
This is before he stopped with the negativity, I guess.
It might have been before the principles or something.
The four principles.
But he wasn't. I mean, he wasn't upset.
Did Brady say some bad stuff about Revis too, and they ended up playing together?
I don't know.
I thought he and Revis went at it pretty good. Maybe not. Or was that Gronk? I might may have gotten them mixed up. Called him a liar. Called Bill a liar, a fraud, or something. I don't know.
Anthony in the truck. What do you got for us?
Hey, do you guys consider a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Look it up on the dictionary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard.
We've done shows on this.
Have we ever talked about that before?
Yes, we have.
For hours, maybe?
Now, what Jim has in his
this
hands,
is a sandwich.
I would consider
it
a sandwich.
I would say that, I don't know if you caught it last week, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice, ruled that a hot dog is a sandwich.
That's probably
the highest authority on things, on legal definitions, that has ever chimed in on whether or not it's a sandwich.
Jim, you call them wieners where you're from, right? Hot wieners? Onlyville? Only system?
No, Beers only system. Those specific.
Yeah.
Wieners. Those specific
casing,
kind.
Right.
Those specific
ones. Those are the best, and those are not sandwiches.
That's like a separate meal.
When you go down with your buddies, and for anybody that's gone and done the New York style wieners, and you get the coffee, milk, and everything, and do the whole thing, do you just get one?
You just do Rhode Island.
Do you say, "Give me one of those hot dog sandwiches"?
Me personally, no.
Or do you say, "Give me 4 to 6"?
Usually 3 all the way or 4 all the way.
Yeah, see, so you're not really eating 4 sandwiches.
I don't believe. I mean, I don't believe it's a sandwich. I would never call a hot dog a sandwich. But
snack.
Yeah, but what do you? How do you define a sandwich?
I would say something that you could eat with a small side, and it would be termed a meal for you, and you would be not hungry anymore.
See, that,
it's funny. Jaffe's coming in. I think the day we did that was with a Jaffe.
Yeah, because he's
day.
A former meat salesman.
Because it's Chicago dogs. We got it
right.
To Chicago.
Well, Chicago's
dogs.
Different now.
Oh. Hey, now. I don't know what happened there. I was trying to get Kirby on the line. Kirby, hold on.
Hi, seven Kirby. Digits for this type of call now. Thank you.
Hi, whoa. Kirby.
Oh, wow.
You must
Kirby, you there?
1 plus the area code followed by 7 digits for this type of call now. Thank you.
Is this one of them alien things?
Delta, Alpha, November, Echo, Romeo,
Kirby?
Echo. What? Oh.
Kirby.
Danger.
Kirby? And then he hung up. Then we lost Kirby.
You sound like Eddie Murphy in a Boomerang. Kirby! Come on, boy!
What's her name from St. Elmo's Fire? He fell in love with her. She was the doctor.
She's not a... She, what?
She's not a real...
Okay.
St. Elmo's Fire.
Billy Jaffe, no, hot dog salesman.
Two different... Oh, okay, I got you. Emilio Estevez.
Yep. Emilio Estevez.
Yeah. The two different movies with Kirby.
He was not a good Kirby.
Emilio?
Well, yeah.
We'll talk hockey with Billy Jaffe coming up next.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day with Solak and Bertrand from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub. From the center of the hockey universe, it's Solak and Bertrand. This is Bruins Game Day, live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Billy Jaffe is going to join us momentarily here at TD Garden, but we've got some calls on the line. We'll go to before that. Bob's in Centerville. Hey, Bob.
Hey, think it was you. I heard you saying you wouldn't watch Patriots anymore if they signed Johnny Football.
If they name him the starter, if he's the next starting quarterback of the Patriots, not if they sign him.
Yeah. Well, why?
Because I don't like him.
You got to use
because I like nothing about him.
Because he's a bad guy. I mean, he's not the first bad guy the Patriots have ever had.
Yeah.
I can think of like a couple that are a little worse than what this guy did. And if he's trying to make amends publicly.
Who's he following?
You got to give him a chance. I mean, if he doesn't
have to give him a chance. Why do you have to give him a chance, Bob? Why does anyone have to?
Because everybody deserves a second chance, Beatles.
I thought that's what we were supposed to be. Give a guy one chance. Yeah. I'm not saying multiple.
Buddy.
I'm saying one. I mean, if
anybody
used those standards, then I wouldn't watch the league because half of them are criminals anyways. So if you're going to be real truthful about it, you just wouldn't watch football, period. You got to realize these guys, there are some bad guys playing this game.
I think it's an elite,
totally understood.
I think it's an elite leadership position. I think quarterback more so than
quarterback
anything
quarterback is different than any other position
any other
on
position.
That field.
It reflects
and
everything
only that,
about your team, your brand, your leadership, how you direct
you
people in that room,
put,
and think about the guy
Smith?
He's following.
And, Bob, you know what the other part is? You know why I say that? Because I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Right.
Because I don't think he's good enough to do it.
Then if that's the case, fine. But if Belichick were to put him in that position, it would be because he proved that he is different and that he's capable of doing it. If not, he wouldn't do it, and he probably won't if that's the case.
I'm not putting my money on it, Bob.
I don't think Bill.
No, I wouldn't bet my money on Johnny Manziel coming up
with
his team.
So say Manziel comes here and he beats out Hoyer or whatever, and he's the backup, pseudo backup. See, Brady goes down. Manziel gets in, plays two games. Gets a hell of an invite on, say, the off weekend to go to Vegas. We're going to give you $45,000 cash to show up at this pool party, and he does it in disguise. How does Belichick put all his eggs in one basket with this guy with that risk to where if something's dangled in front of him, this guy could pop off at any time?
Huge
instead
risk.
Of having that steady Eddie stability at the position that you never had to worry about for 18 years. Belichick has not had to worry about Brady for 18 years. Think about that as a head coach. That's half the battle, man. Do you have the right guy at that position? Why are teams going nuts over the top of this draft? They think there's three franchise guys there. I'm watching them throw. I'm not real thrilled with all of them, but I thought Darnold threw well the other day, as did Josh Allen. And it looks like Lamar Jackson is throwing better today than he did at the combine. I still won't put all my eggs in one basket for any of these guys. And now all of a sudden you're going to look at Johnny Manziel, who doesn't even seem to have any sort of the arm strength that these guys have? It's a head-scratcher.
Bob's not wrong. A lot of criminals, a lot of bad guys in the NFL.
I agree.
You have to suck it up and accept it to some degree.
Bob, I play with a bunch of a-holes.
I mean, there's just some guys.
I think the position dictates a different set of standards. Sorry.
I mean, the quarterback is almost management in the NFL. We say it all the time.
Think who you're following. Miami gets ripped for, what, 17, 18 starters since Dan Marino, and they still haven't found the guy? That's what
do you think? What do you think Patriots fans would do if he became the guy? Oh, they'd lap it right up.
That's right.
Same way they do with James Harrison.
Johnny football shirts. Start printing them.
But yeah. It's different. It's different with the quarterback position. It just is. Kirby's back on the line. Kirby.
Hey, Kirby.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
Nothing. Sorry about that phone call. I don't know what the heck happened with that. But I just wanted to call and put some things in perspective. I mean, you guys are talking about Johnny Manziel starting and everything, and I don't think that's the case. I really just think we all know what Brian Hoyer's ceiling is. I mean, he's a career backup or a fringe starter, whatever it is. But we don't quite know what Johnny Manziel's ceiling is. And this is just Belichick being Belichick. He's taking in a guy that lit it up in a national championship. I mean, I wanted to take my pants off after that national championship. So, you know, I think that's all this is.
Meaning what? He's going to bring him in and sign him and have him be the backup?
He's going to come in and he's going to turn a guy that's worth nothing into, I don't know, a conditional fifth-round pick or a trade for some Philly doorstep. I mean, who knows?
I think he's just doing all this effort to bring a guy in to risk all the extra baggage in the media coverage and what he would bring here.
He didn't play in a national championship.
I know he didn't. He's probably referencing the Alabama game that everybody thinks is the national championship.
That was in October?
Game. Thank you.
He played against Duke in a bowl game. Great comeback, but he played against Duke in a bowl game. It was a BCS game.
I let it go. I don't want to get into semantics. But I've seen Manziel play.
Again, that's not semantics.
Well,
those are two entirely different things.
Playing against Alabama is pretty much the same as playing in a national championship game.
Yeah, I think October and national championships are exactly the same.
Can you play at an elite level and be effective against high-end collegiate talent? And in the SEC, that's what Johnny Manziel did. I've seen him play multiple games in college. I think the kid can play. I thought he was fantastic. I just don't think he put it all together at the next level. I think it's tough to do. I think it's a different set. It's a different animal, man. It really is. And to think you would risk him going on some sort of a bender and saying, you know what, he's totally clean, got his life in order. All it takes is one weekend, man, and boom, it's all over. All over. Because what are you going to do? Bring him in for that. You got one strike, baby. One strike and you're gone. And say that strike happens. What are you going to do, whack him if Brady's hurt? No, you saddled your bag. You saddled up with him. You got to ride it. That's a tough thing, man. It's a tough thing to sell it on. Don't do it.
All right, Billy Jaffe is with us. Billy, how you doing?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, Bill.
You okay?
I'm great.
How was the traffic out there?
It was fine until around the garden.
Isn't it brutal?
This place sucks.
It sucks
from a traffic standpoint.
Oh, just yeah.
You know, I came to a Bruins game two weeks ago.
Chicago game, yeah. You had chicken fingers.
I sat out front here.
I heard that
off that loop where you come to North Station where you go get off exit 26.
Yeah.
Sat there for an hour and 10 minutes. Didn't move.
Hour and ten minutes.
We were late. Thought I was going to be here. Gave enough time. We left the house at 11. I think it was a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Left our house at 11 because I wanted to get there at 12. Hour before.
Right.
Pre-game.
Yeah.
We didn't walk in until 1:10.
Oh my.
Got to that little loop. And we could not get into the garage or either of the two garages.
Holy smokes.
What a nightmare. Nightmare.
Wow.
Matinee game. People love going to matinee.
Who doesn't? I love afternoon
Hummin,
hockey.
That's
I love
good,
it.
Hey, it's a good problem to have.
It is.
There are some
I
people
know,
that can't get people in traffic or can't fill a building.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah?
I know.
It's a good problem.
No, I'm good. You guys have some outstanding smelling and looking food here.
Dig in, pal. You like a Reuben?
I do like Reuben. But here, I have a thing on Reubens, though. Sorry. Can I digress for a moment?
Absolutely.
I'm a Ruben. I don't mind kraut, but I like it. It's called the Rachel. I love coleslaw instead of kraut.
So you're more of a Pittsburgh-based guy, Primanti sandwich, and that's coleslaw instead of the
right. In Ann Arbor, where I went to school at Michigan, there's a place called Zingerman's that introduced me to the first. And I'm going back a long time.
You ever go to the Ann Arbor diner?
Sure. I mean, you go to
same one,
right? But yeah. Zingerman's had the Georgia Reuben. That was the name of the sandwich, and this is going back 30 years now, and that's where I got into it. Now we see it everywhere else.
Right.
It's turkey, Russian, or Thousand Island, whoever came up with the name Thousand Island, by the way, and, you know, coleslaw.
Oh, Russian's different. It's a more ketchup-based.
It is a little more. Yeah, right, Thousand Island, I know some people. But anyway, so they put all that on there, and then they grill it up. I like my grilled well. But I love Reuben's, but really I like Rachel's more with coleslaw instead of kraut.
I mean, I'm not a Reuben snob, but I would go. I'm a heavy kraut guy because I'm my Pittsburgh-based Polish background.
Yes, I'll bet.
But I would dive into that. But I also love the cold, crisp bite of the coleslaw. I think that adds another dimension.
It does. I used to like taking when I was in shape and could do it. I would take corned beef and then put bacon on that with a coleslaw and a Rachel that and grill it up. Oh, it was outstanding! Used to go down to the deli during the after the season.
Look at the smile that put on Billy's face.
Why do the Jewish delis pack on such a massive half a pound of the sandwich is so big you can't bite it, like the corned beef. Why is it 3 inches stacked?
Well, you're talking the New York delis.
Yeah, you go to New York, you go to Katz, or
they're charging you $40 or whatever it is, $30 for it, and what's amazing about that, by the way, is they took brisket, and this is my old Chicago days selling Vienna beef going back 25 years now. Here you go. Right? Abe Froman, I was the sausage king. That was my
name.
It was the Flying Jew, and then it was Abe Froman, sausage king with my hockey teammates. That's what it was. But
you're Abe Froman?
You're Abe Froman.
Sausage king of Chicago?
But they took brisket, which was the lowest cut of meat, like that and tongue and the other cuts that were the nothing meats.
Tongue is good.
Well, you got to have acquired taste for that, right?
It's like liver.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not a liver fan.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah.
You should have been to my house when I was a kid growing up. My mom made it twice a year with liver and onions, and every time I'm like, no. But anyways, brisket was a nothing cut, and now it's this expensive thing. It's the real estate in New York. But I love it. Now, why do they go thick? Because bigger might be better in that regard. I don't know. Anyways, this looks
and that's the start that we are off to here with Billy Jaffe. Billy, do you expect a playoff-like atmosphere in the building tonight?
Yeah, I do. You know why? Because you have the obvious matchup. That's one thing. Two, it's that spring feel. It's just turning a little. And I was talking about this with Anton Khudobin. There's one thing to have 75 degrees when you're in Tampa during the middle of the year, but that's not hockey weather.
Right.
When it starts turning and it gets a little warmer, that's how it signals of good things to come. And this has got that feel. And the other thing is, this Bruins team is fun, flat out fun. And I think, they've been gone for 8 of their last 9 games. They had that one game blur visit against Columbus a couple of weeks, 10 days ago. And I think people are missing them. So I think that there's going to be something to be said for it. Now, this game, it's a Thursday night, too. We all know what Thursday night, city night, Thursday night, people go out and have a few more bevvies and everything.
Should be a louder crowd tonight.
It should be.
But the crowds have not been loud. You see what I'm saying?
It just has a different feel. The crowds have been great.
Yeah.
The crowds have been awesome.
Let's go.
Hey, Monday night, you have one game, you have a one-off.
Yeah.
You're home, and I thought that crowd against Columbus was great. On a Monday night.
Sure.
So, yeah, Beetle, I do. And David Backes expected to play. Zdeno Chara will not play. Matt Grzelcyk, I expect him to play. He's going to take warm-up. I expect him to play.
All right, we'll talk more about tonight's game and matchup with Billy Jaffe and your calls as well on the Bruins, 617-779-0985. Want to talk about some of the injuries this team is still dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
We will do that with Billy coming up after these
headlines.
I'll
taste the food.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, you just heard from Billy Jaffe, who he expects and doesn't expect to play. But I tell you, there were tons of people out there at the morning skate for the Bruins this morning, including the aforementioned Zdeno Chara, Jake DeBrusque, Matt Grzelcyk, Charlie McAvoy out there wearing the non-contact jersey, all ahead of tonight's game against the Lightning at the TD Garden. We'll get the latest from Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show that begins at 6:30 tonight. Here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Celtics with a win last night on the road, 4 in a row, 4-0 on the Western road trip with the 97-94 win over the Jazz in Utah. They will be home on Saturday night to take on first place Toronto. Red Sox open up their regular season this afternoon. They're taking on the Rays at Tropicana Field. Chris Sale gets the start opposite Chris Archer. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters in Saugus, Shrewsbury, Dedham, and West Springfield, where the game is on, the food is hot, and the beer is cold. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
You're listening to Bruins Game Day. Bruins Game Day. Bruins Zolak and Bertrand. From the Star Market Broadcast Studio. On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. It's Zolak and Bertrand. Bruins Game Day. On your home of the Bees. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Several of those guys were on the ice today, continuing to work back towards playing. I don't think we have a definitive timetable on any one of those players, but they've all gotten closer to getting back in our lineup, and you know, hopefully they'll be sooner rather than later. You know, David Back has skated fully today. He'll skate again tomorrow, and so same with Zdeno and Charlie and Jake. So I think they're closer rather than further away, which is a positive sign for us, and because we've had some challenges. The guys have done a tremendous job. The coaches' staff has prepared each and every player every night. We've had the next man up attitude, and but we will look forward to getting our full lineup together and having everybody back, and hopefully before the end of the season.
Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy talking about being hopeful of having his full lineup back and ready to go in the playoffs. 617-779-0985. Oh, that was Don Sweeney. I'm sorry. I knew it was Don Sweeney. You're looking at me funny. I'm like, what did I do wrong?
I always look at you funny.
I said Bruce Cassidy, didn't I? Yeah.
Voice is a little different on that.
Sorry. You know what I meant.
I just don't want those people out there in the world. You don't know.
No, I'm sorry. You know,
I'm looking out for you.
Very distinct voices. They don't sound like each other.
They are different. Yes.
Yes.
What's going on, fellas? What do you want to talk hockey-wise?
I want to talk about this. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but Rick Nash and his availability, that feels like it's a really important one. As much as we say, if you're looking to make up for the offense you lose in Rick Nash, having Ryan Donato helps. There's no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's just a boost that you get out of thin air here. At the end of the season, you get a guy like Ryan Donato, who can clearly play and can clearly score.
Sure. By the way, congratulations to Ryan Donato being named the finalist from three for the nation's best college hockey
player. What is he? Oh, is that Hobie Baker? No, that's what
I thought. I thought
Hobie Baker?
I thought he got the result of the test that he
I thought he was going to say he graduated
congratulations,
early.
Congratulations, Ryan.
And I was going to really wish him congrats. Your,
Let's talk hockey. Come on.
Okay.
So you did it. Wait a minute. You did it.
I just
you
said
did
congratulations.
It to me. You did it. Jaffe.
Yep, go on.
Okay.
Well, he did call it a final. Did call it a final four.
What about the size, though? What about the physicality that the Bruins are going to need come playoff time?
But isn't that a Nash thing? Because
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Guys like Nash, you talked about Backus being back.
There seemed to be, look, okay, there's Backus is back. That's great. They're going to need that.
And this is off the Winnipeg.
And
ass whipping.
Nate, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
They didn't even come close to getting their butts handed to them, and they were missing six guys.
It's the first team I've seen in a while kind of push them a little bit.
So
you mean physically push them around?
Different. No, one loss. They fought to get. Come on, I'm talking about what's the game look like.
All right, fair enough.
They got pushed around in that game.
They were fighting back. I know they got little guys.
They had no Chara out there. They had no Backus out there. And if you get Nash back, that makes a big difference, okay? So let's add that to the mix. I don't disagree that Winnipeg, which, by the way, you'd be small on that team, though.
We talked about
it's a monstrous team. They are a giant.
Big boys.
They are big boys.
That's the one I went and watch skate. I'm like, they're all bigger than me.
Yeah, they are. And But on the other hand, I think when the Bruins have their, let's just call it full complement, whatever that means, whether they're off one or two. Now, specifically Rick Nash, I don't know where he's at. Now, it didn't seem as ominous today as it felt yesterday. Bruce Cassidy was talking about maybe doing a little, do we have the tape of that or somebody there? A little working out, but he's not on the ice. He's not on the ice.
What's the injury?
Don't know.
Concussion?
It feels like that because
that's what I think it is.
We don't know for sure. They haven't said a word. You understand, you know how hard it is to get info out. We looked at that Tampa game and there were some heavy hits on him. And he took one up high, and back, and he played, and then he played the next day, 2 days later, the morning skate against Columbus, and then he took off. Then he's not out there. So it's we know it's upper. You can make a surmising
freaking hockey, and you're upper and low.
I know. It's gotten worse and worse.
Below the belt, above the belt.
I know. Lou Lamoriello started it all. He started it all, and everybody else has gone on board with it. The good news is DeBrusk skated this morning. As you said, Backus is going to play. Char skated. I got to imagine they're back this weekend, or at least the very least, Beetle, they go on the road trip. You know, they play Saturday at home, Sunday on the road, and then they have Tuesday, Thursday again on the road. So even if they don't play this weekend, my guess is they're very close to being – they're close to being back.
You know, in a weird way, if it is a concussion, it's sort of good news. I mean, we went through this at the Super Bowl with Rob Gronkowski coming off the AFC Championship game.
So,
And in talking to some people in the orbit of Rob Gronkowski, there was a relief factor that it was only a concussion after that AFC title game. And you think, well, that sounds crazy because head injuries are serious business, and that can have, you know, long-lasting, you know, impact and can impact your life in a pretty significant way.
Right.
But it was, but the Super Bowl's in 2 weeks, and we know he'll be able to probably play.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you tear up your shoulder or you blow out a knee or something like that happens, and I'm not saying this is right, but there's a lot of professional athletes that if you ask them, you want a head injury or you want a knee injury, they'll say, oh, give me the head injury.
I'll be back in short order.
I'm just talking timeline.
Yeah.
If you're looking at it just
but you're assuming,
is he going to be available?
You're
really
assuming that it's going to be one of the short term.
I am. A couple of weeks.
And if it is.
We've got time here.
We have to emphasize. We cannot emphasize this enough. I am not saying that he has. I don't know.
I'm speculating. I'm purely speculating that's what he's dealing with.
So let's just, you just don't know with them if that's what it is. Meaning you can think you feel good, and then until you get the heart rate up regularly, you just don't know. You just don't know, and you can be completely off. I just don't look. When a guy's not, whether it's football, hockey, whatever, when a guy isn't even out there doing the basics, I'm not talking off ice. I'm talking on ice, on the field, etc. To me, it's still far away. That's my take.
Yep.
So every time until that guy is back on that playing surface, I say it's at least a week. So I'm saying it's another at least a week. That's all I go with right now.
Makes sense.
But there's time. There's time here.
There is. The Bruins won't open up the playoffs until that Thursday at the early because
what are we talking? 2 weeks 12th, from Thursday?
April 12th?
The 12th. But if you look at the Celtics have a home game.
2 weeks from today.
The Celtics have a home game on that Wednesday. So if
good job, Billy Jaffe.
Well,
looking that up.
It's and
cross sport Jaffe will start calling
him. Do you notice how many media and broadcasting partners are kind of forecasting and looking this ahead? That's how confident these people have gotten. Look at Jaffe.
Well, they're in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs.
I know.
We know they're
in. But it's nice to have that problem. I mean, we didn't.
Right. Exactly.
We're counting points.
Unless they start Thursday. I mean, they could start Friday, but this is just, and other media people have spitballed this too. There's a good chance at Hockey Night in Canada if it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. Big if still. The Bruins could end up in first, legitimately. You would think that maybe Hockey Night in Canada would get Saturday night. Bruins would play Thursday, Saturday. It's either going to be Thursday or Friday. That's what it's going to be.
Do you believe in a President's Trophy curse?
I'm going to say no. But I'm going to say it does. You know what? I mean, Bruce Cassidy was asked that question today in a little different way. He says, how important is first place? He says, we haven't talked about it once. This group, though, and how resilient they are, they just go out and play every game. Huh. They just do. He said, we have not talked about it once because why would they? The truth is, what difference does it make right now? I mean, of course you say it'd be nice to have by the way, Beetle, they're not up for President's Trophy. They're up for best division, best conference record points. Right now, Nashville has Presidents. Just to be clear on that.
With time to play, time to go.
Yeah. I think that you love to have home ice. There's no question about it, especially in certain matchups. I'm confident with this team. I'm excited to get Chara and Backes and DeBrusk back. I'm excited. Sean Corrali, by the way, folks, is going to be out tonight. Upper body. Don't know. Don't know at all. So where did that, this time of year, wrestling.
Okay. But Grizzlick, what'd you say the update was on Grizzlick?
I think he plays. He got hit, we know, hard from behind, missed the rest of the game. Felt a bit in his upper shoulder, neck area and everything, but he's going to give it a go and warm up. If I had, as I like to say, any money to bet, I'd bet he's out.
Okay, let's
playing,
get your calls.
He's out there playing.
And also, let's talk about Josh Morrissey not facing anything for his hit on Grizzlick. Do that coming up next.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub. From From the center of the hockey universe, it's Solak and Bertrand. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Winnipeg's Josh Morrissey did not face any discipline from the league on his hit that happened at the end of the period against Matt Grizzlick the other night in Winnipeg. Billy, do you agree with that decision?
A mix, because I thought he traversed a long way to get to Matt Grizzlick, but Grizzlick did stop and then turn at the last second, and he hit him from the numbers from behind. So it's one of those, again, where beauty's in the eye of the offender and defender, I guess. I agree with Bruce Cassidy this morning, who said they got the call right, 5 in a game. Absolutely agree about that. As far as supplemental, you know, the problem is, again, we can't go back to this. I know people want to. The league got it wrong on the David Backes one, where he got the 5 in the match. They got that wrong, but he didn't get supplemental discipline either. So I would say that I'd lean – this is the quandary we're in. There's got to be some culpability of the guy that's hitting, but there's also the guy that's getting hit at the last second. If you stop and turn your back, and if we say we're eliminating all that, Beetle, though, then we're bringing hockey to a whole nother level.
I just think that this hit was so different than the hits that we talked about in recent weeks, where we did not want to see David Backes get suspended. And we had, again, players from other teams we have not wanted to see get suspended. This one, based on the time left, with there being no time
left. This one seemed real dirty.
Leaving the feet, leading with the hands, up high, hitting him in the head. Like, it just, it felt like a cheap shot is what it felt like.
Yes, but the league breaks it down frame by frame.
Which is dumb. Which is part of my problem with them.
Why would they look at the clock?
Well, that's where I'm mixed.
How do you not look at David Backes and say, he's trying to make a hockey play there? And then look at this and say,
They did with David Backes. They did. The referee screwed up. And by the way, the referee, that might have been the poorest officiated game I've seen, not just this year, in a long time, the other night against Winnipeg. They got the major for boarding correct. I said on the air, I lean towards wanting to see a suspension here. I think that the intent, you know, if I've watched it over numerous times, it comes because, and we showed in our post-game show, he comes all the way from the point to the slot, and then he races to the other end after Marchand had hit Scheifele pretty well. You know, I can't get into the head of Josh Morrissey, but I can think after watching it the amount of times that I have that he said, all right, I'm going to finish this guy because Marchand just finished Scheifele. So there's some intent there. I could have seen one or two. I could have. I get it a loss now, Beetle. I do. I get it a loss. I'm thrilled, obviously, that Matt is not hurt. Seriously, obviously, at all. He's got some aches, but that's all right. But, you know, I was really disappointed in what the officials did when the goal was scored the other night, or wasn't scored, and they called it a goal.
The first goal of the night.
Yeah.
That replay, I couldn't believe how you could see nothing on the replay.
I know.
You could see absolutely nothing.
I know.
You think the crowd got to them there? That atmosphere and kind of the reaction?
I sure hope not. If that's the case, then that crew belongs nowhere near the playoffs because the crowds are going to be more voracious.
Human nature, it happens. It happens in sports where sometimes an official gets maybe not consciously, but impacted by a crowd.
But it was the linesman that made the call. How the hell is the line? I mean, it's not that you can't see things from further away. I get that. But you better be super duper 1,100% sure that you, I mean, how do you not say, wait, I think I saw it in to the referee. He says, look, I thought I saw it in, but you know what? I'm 70, 60, 50 feet away. Let's go review this one without making a call. And, you know, it's okay to say that I haven't made a call on the ice. It's not ideal. anyways, it's easier to explain it, Beetle, when you have the video in front of you. The officials, in my opinion, on that one just screwed it up.
Of course they did.
They screwed
it up. No, I don't disagree that they didn't handle the situation well, because it was a mess. I also don't know that it wasn't a goal.
But I don't disagree about that. But a linesman was the one who called it a goal from his spot. Again, not that that's impossible, but there's nothing. See, the problem by calling it a goal, just like calling it no, like they didn't. I guess if you have to make a call, they felt felt that it was impactful enough on the linesman that they had to make a call on the ice that it was a goal, because I don't think the referee. I know the referee did not have a line on it. He did not wave it off. He put his arms up to stop the play. But then at some point, see, we didn't have all the audio because it was Nat audio that was overtaking some of the stuff in our replays. There was supposedly a moment where they said the call on the ice has been reversed. I don't remember ever seeing a no-goal call on the ice. He pointed to the middle of the ice right away. He pointed to the middle of the ice, then he came back, and they reviewed it after the ref asked for the review. It was very confusing and very poorly handled. And, you know, I don't wish ill will on anybody, but I think those officials aren't ready for prime time. I don't think they handled that well.
Hey,
and I love the refs. You know me. Yeah. Those guys weren't.
Nice job on the char extension, don't you think?
Very nice. Very nice.
I mean,
very
think
nice.
About what that guy's done, where he's come from.
Very nice for both him getting a little more than perhaps some people thought he would in a, let's say, a longer-term deal.
He really deserved it this year, too.
And
you know?
He's been awesome and very nice for the team, having flexibility. 5 years plus the incentives. He'll reach the incentives for the most part. I think there's one incentive, $250,000 of it, that they have to win the cup. So if they don't win, right. If they win the cup, you're more than happy to pay them.
Some people still argue the money because of the age or whatever, but he's still ranked. Like technically in the 40s as far as defensemen, but
he would have gotten,
that's what guys are making.
He would have gotten 2 or 3 years, believe it, from somebody else, and he would have gotten 4 to 5.
How about
million.
The old GM? What would the old GM have given him?
I don't know. Let's not even go there, because he would go to another.
20 million, Felger. What would he have given him?
2 years, 20 million.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mark is in Medford. Hey,
hello, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Billy?
What's going on?
Yeah, Billy. I agree with you 100%. You said exactly what I was going to say about the Morrissey hit, but it doesn't matter that Grzelcyk actually turned his back at the last second. It was the way Morrissey did it, coming from 35 feet away.
I totally agree
okay?
with you, Mark.
That was intense.
Yeah, we didn't take too much
that
of
was
him
with
turning.
Malice. That was with malice, okay? And I'm listening to the 2-6 show yesterday, okay? And somebody had called in. I'm watching it on TV, actually. Somebody called in and asked why this guy didn't get suspended, but Backus got the 3 games for what he did, okay? And Felger's answer was, well, what was his history? Well, what was Backus's history
that
warranted a 3-game suspension? This is the stupidest answer I ever heard come out of Felger's mouth.
Good. Call him at 2
call
o'clock,
him
Mark.
Him, then.
Call him at 2 p.m. Tell him he's an idiot. Do it on his time. That's what I would say about that. I just think that the part about the turning around, which I've heard so much about, if you're the league, you've got to apply some level of common sense when you're doing this stuff.
Well, maybe he's turning because he's also turning because maybe he's sensing, he's feeling that a guy is darting for
him.
Kill him.
But on the other hand, but
or he got at the end of the period, wait, and it doesn't matter.
Well, but the other thing is, you don't want that. I mean, I said on the air, I thought this is worthy of more. It's a Mark makes the point. Mark, the caller, you make the point. I agree. The more I've watched it, the more I think that there's a clean intent to the hit. I don't think it's to hurt, but I think it's to make an impactful hit, perhaps at an unnecessary time.
It's an intentional T-bone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a I wonder if he was hurt, if there would have been more. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he didn't come back and play the rest of the game. So I don't know if the league was waiting. Actually, they probably weren't, because yesterday there was no practice for the Bruins. So.
I thought we'd wait and see, take that into account, too. A guy doesn't return to a game, so the punishment, what that's going to be levied, you know?
Well, it's usually the next day that they take that into account.
No calls.
Yeah. It was. You know, Morris, he doesn't have a history, and he's not that type of player. But again, let me finish here. But he did that. Yeah. So what if he doesn't, you know?
It's the action.
He did that.
Like, right? like Gronkowski when he hit that kid up in Buffalo. Rob's not a dirty player, but he got whacked for it.
Yeah.
More with Billy Jaffe is coming up after these headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials. Let's talk more about Zdeno Chara's contract. Let's get back to that, because I'm surprised, Billy, as you said, if he were to go out to the market and get additional years.
He would have.
I'm surprised he didn't get additional years here.
We'll talk about it.
Hold that thought.